welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. This is Kurt Wilson, the Armchair Survivalist, and today is February the 9th in the year 2020. Let's hope we're around to 2021. Anyway, welcome to the show. You can go to armchairsurvivalist.com. You just scroll down on that page and you'll see how to listen to me. I'm on Stitcher. I'm on podcasts, a whole bunch of different podcasts. TuneIn, Anchor, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I'm on YouTube, Google Play, Apple something or other. And then if you know what to do with it, my RSS feed is there as well. There's a little square box that says RSS. You can listen on Global Star 3 Satellite. That's Galaxy 19 Transponder 5. There's two live feeds there, 24/7 live feed, it says. And what is that? The Media Center? It's a media player, and then there's a flash player also. You can just listen live to live feeds at Global Star 3 Satellite if you want. You can click on the chat room link, and you can listen in the chat room. Or you can listen on your phone. It's not toll-free, but it's there. It's 641-741-0371. That's 641 area code, 741-0371. You can listen on air. Now, you might have to dial two or three times because it's kind of funky. But if you miss my show and you want to listen to the most current show, on all of my pages at armchairsurvivalist.com, at the top it says, listen 24 hours a day to the most recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Do that, and you'll hear the most recent show. On the left-hand side is a little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that, and it takes you to a page, The Armchair Survivalist Past Shows. I keep the shows of the current year there. So if you hadn't downloaded the 2019 shows, you're SOL, at least for my website, because all of the podcasters, all the podcast access that you can get has those old shows on it, as it does YouTube. So anyway, I have the shows there if you want to listen to them there. All right, so let's see. We got some business for the company. Not too much, just the standard stuff. We have some closeout stuff, food tabs. We have some of those left. We're carrying a bunch of cold steel knives, some actual battle-ready katanas. Now, these aren't display. These aren't toys. And the cold steel canes. These are walking canes. These are TSA approved canes. But you and I both know anything made by cold steel is a defensive or offensive weapon as well. There's no knives or swords in the canes. They're just old closed cell polypropylene, 11 layers of fiberglass. You know, they're stiff and hard. Now look, I got to tell you guys, because we've lost our ability to take credit cards at Survival Enterprises. And it's a political thing, and I'm not going to go into it now. I already have in one of my other shows. But basically, we're down 75% of our business is down, and I'm being square with you. If I don't start getting my old customers coming back to me and buying from me, we won't be in business too much longer. We can take your bank, your checks over the phone. And it's 100% secure. It's nothing like it was in the old days. It is 100% secure. And we import the data into a folder. It prints out a check. Boom. It's just as if you mailed it, except it cuts out a week. You know, we've had a lot of people mail us checks anyway over the years. And it takes you, 3 to 5 days or so to get for the check to get to us. Then we have to deposit the check and wait for it to clear. Well, this cuts out the mail totally 100%. All right, so I got a lot of stuff to talk about, so we're going to have to get right into it. We're going to get right into the economy right now. So let's go to that. Now, this Wuhan coronavirus that's hitting everything is really screwing up the whole financial sector worldwide. I'll be covering that a lot more, and so will somebody else later on in the show. I really hope you people are listening. I really hope that you're understanding what I've been telling you about preparing. Because it's crunch time, and it's not going to get any better. But this coronavirus is affecting you wouldn't believe all the little things, the spider web that China has wove that affects the whole planet, especially the United States. You know, when Trump started to talk about getting elected as president, he was adamant about he wanted the United States economy back on its own feet. He wanted businesses manufacturing stuff in the United States. He wanted drugs being manufactured in the United States. This is showing up now why he wanted all of this stuff. So I'm just going to leave that part alone, and it'll be touched on later on in the show. There's something happening in colleges that I think is a good thing, and I wish it had done it years ago when I was in college. Well, there's some adult undergraduate programs. They're called zero-cost course. And what it is you remember you go to college, not just college, but even in high school, you have to buy certain books. Well, in college, you've got to buy a whole crap load of books. I remember spending well over $2,000 on a semester of books that I needed in college. Well, they're going to start putting them online now. Now, yes, there's pros and cons in the whole online thing. But they're starting to put the books online so the students no longer have to buy the books. And again, pro and con. You don't have to buy the book. You can read it online. But in years later, if you ever want to refer back to it, well, you can't. You know, you won't have a hard copy. Okay, we're getting right into the food and health department here. There's a town in Australia that has been plagued by bats like you wouldn't believe.
Fruit bats in plague numbers have descended on a Queensland town, bringing unbearable smell, noise and mess, leaving residents at their wits' end. The situation's become even more serious after the problem prevented a helicopter carrying a patient from landing at the hospital.
It almost looks apocalyptic. Fruit bats in their hundreds of thousands blanketing the evening sky. This is a day in the life for the residents of Ingham.
The stench is unbelievable. The nuisances they're putting up with. You can't put washing out on your lawn.
Now, the problem has reached alarming and dangerous new levels.
Emergency chopper can't land because of the bats.
Through a thick black cloud, the helicopter searches for a safe spot to land at the hospital.
The chopper's trying to disperse the bats.
Circling the town, it's no match.
This is an absolute joke.
The chopper forced to land at the local airport.
It looks like the patient's getting prepared to be offloaded.
Thankfully, the patient in this case could still receive their necessary treatment, but the Ingham community is fearing next time the outcome could be worse.
The residents are just beside themselves. If you go to Ingham now, it's just like a powder keg.
The protected species can't be culled, and local councils are responsible for the management of colonies. All the hapless councils allowed to try and do is smoke them out or scare them with noise.
Now, I wasn't sure whether to put that under the liberal psychosis or health and food, but bat guano can be very, very toxic and very dangerous, and it carries viruses and what have you. So I just thought I'd tell you about that. Now, you know about the locust plague that's spreading in Africa and Asia. As a matter of fact, Pakistan just declared an emergency. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is another nail in the coffin of the food production in the United States and world. The East and West Africa has been decimated. 50% of their food crops are gone. Pakistan has lost about 45% or so of their food crops from this locust, this plague of locusts. Last week, I think I mentioned it was like 300 billion locusts. It's now over 600 billion locusts. And they don't die. They just keep eating and eating and eating. They can eat enough food in 24 hours that would wipe out a whole town. That's the size of what they decimate in their flight. Now, there's weird things happening everywhere. Denver had 74 degrees, warmest in 100 years, and then it dropped below freezing overnight, and they got 5 inches of snow. 74 degrees, then it dropped below freezing 24 hours later, they had snow. I mean, this is astounding. Same thing happened in Tasmania. Now, I mentioned the solar minimum, and I have for the past few months. Earth right now is about to enter a cycle as the sun hibernates, because that's basically what it's doing. It's going to be like a mini ice age. Go to armchairsurvivalist.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a link that says show notes. If you click on that, it'll give you a list of my shows and the dates that I did them. And I have a title for each one of them. So if you figure out which one you want to read this show notes on and click on it, and it'll take you there and you can read this link. Earth is about to enter a 30-year mini ice age as the sun hibernates, scientist warns. So much for global warming. All right, we got to get into the Wuhan thing. Look, I get information from places that you guys don't even, most of you don't even know exists, and the majority of you would never want to go there anyway. And I'm putting two and two together, and I'm talking to other people. I'm talking to people who do not go on the internet. They just do things through their phone. And you know, the data that we're getting is all lies. We know that. We've known that for years. All governments never tell the people what's really going on. Well, we kind of all figured out that there's an amount of people dying in China that far exceeds anything that we've been told. Well, there's an app called Tencent, and it's on the phone where people can post pictures and talk and everything like that. Well, somebody has had a feed of this Tencent app. They've been feeding it 24/7 and watching in China the amount of people who have died, the amount of people who have recovered, the amount of people who are infected, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the numbers changed. And instead of saying 425 died, it went up to 25,000 died. And then a few minutes later, it shifted back. So everyone's out there saying, oh yeah, they made a mistake and they allowed us to see this. No, that's called false data. That is a fake that was put out so that people would think that's all that's died. In Wuhan and in every city that they are quarantining, the Chinese government, the military are going through and seizing every cell phone and every tablet that they can find. And any journalist they find, anybody they find filming anything, disappears. There's what you would call, I don't know, forced kidnapping. If you're on a street in any of the quarantine cities in China, and I'm telling you right now, there's over 400 million people on lockdown in China. If you're on the street and they come up to you and you don't have a mask on, you're arrested instantly. And if you resist, you're shot. If you have a fever, you're kidnapped. You're seized instantly. If you resist, you're killed. Sick residents, they're going door to door right now also. And this isn't every city. We're talking, what do we have in the United States? 350 million people? There are 400 million people right now in communist China that are under lockdown. That means you cannot leave your apartment or your house. They're going door to door, and they're finding people. If you have any fever of any kind, doesn't matter, they're going to seize you immediately and put you in a convoy to one of their quote-unquote new hospitals. You resist. To the degree you resist, they'll either just shoot you or they board up your apartment or house. That's not the worst of it. Then they set it on fire. And, in fact, the Chinese government even came out with a warning. And I have a picture of that. I'm going to have most of this posted. The stuff that I can post. And the stuff that I will post. China comes out and they say, all right, all of you, if we're going door to door, and they say this, so this is where I'm getting this idea. If you're going door to door and we find out you're sick, or if you have no mask on and you are sick, or if you're on the street with no mask on, or if you're, you know, all of these variables, you will be seized and sent to a hospital, or you will be killed. They're saying it right on the air. These new hospitals that you saw them bragging about building, and I said this in the beginning, I said, that's not a hospital. That's going to be a giant crematorium or a place where they send people to die. And that's exactly what they are. There are no doctors in there. There's pictures coming out. There is underground photographs and videos coming out. They bring the people they have seized, and they put them in there. If you're caught with a fever in China, anywhere in China, that's where you're going. Their hospitals are for the loyal party members. So simply you go in one of these hospitals and you stay there and they give you water and wait for you to die. And when you die, they haul you out of there and they burn you. Cremate, in other words. In fact, China's even come out because they're in some of the testing that's occurred, they've realized that other mammals can carry this virus. So they said it was not a big deal, and it disappeared real fast. But it said, we're going to order you to kill your pets. Everybody needs to handle your pets. You need to kill your pets, or the government, or we will come out and do them for you. Over half of the populated areas of China are shut down. There's no food getting in. Here's the stupid thing. The government comes out and says, okay, all of you in Wuhan, or even Singapore, or even Beijing, they say, we're going to quarantine the city starting Monday. And they say this Friday. So what happens? What would you do? You'd haul ass out of there. And that's exactly what's happening. People are leaving. Millions of people. Any of these areas are going into quarantine. Millions of people are leaving. That is spreading the disease, as we well know. In fact, this virus has shut down manufacturers. It's closing down airlines. And it's affecting cruise ships. Right now, there are 5 cruise ships that are under quarantine because there are sick people aboard them. One of the cruise ships, nobody will allow to dock because it has 1,400 people on it. Now, we're talking, these ships carry 3,500 to 5,000 people. All they are floating death boats. And this fifth one, nobody will allow to dock because there's no way they can take care of medically 1,400 sick people. The seafood trade is really starting to suffer worldwide. There are a lot of countries that they exist on seafood. Well, China can neither export, because first off, no one will buy any food out of China right now, and neither can they import. They can't do anything. Everything is shut down there. Now, this one article came out, and it was talking about the infection rate. And I can't really find it, but I can tell you what it is. Here it is. There's one city, and they keep the Chinese government keeps real close track of everything that's happening in all of their areas. And what's happening, you know, I don't read Chinese, but it is easily translated. So there are sheets of paper that talk about fatality rates and heal rates and that kind of stuff. And in one city, the local village had 16 confirmed cases of the virus. Of those, 7 died. The remaining 9 are in serious condition. There are 52 more cases awaiting testing. Here's the problem with that, is that when they say cases waiting testing, that means people who are showing symptoms. Fevers, nausea, hard to breathe, pneumonia-like symptoms. It's because, the reason they aren't saying these people are in serious condition or these are infected, because they don't have the test kits to test them. So you have 16 cases that are ill, 7 of them die. That's a 43.75% death rate. You get that? Out of this one city, 43% rate of death. We've got more people in China on lockdown right now, on quarantine, than we have in stretching it in the United States. Now, there's a website one of my listeners sent me that if you want to see a lot of the stuff that's popping up from China. See, our mainstream media doesn't want us to see this stuff, because then everybody would freak out in the United States. And that would upset the apple cart. That would screw up the economy, wouldn't it? And the economy is more important than our lives. So if something happens, I mean, face it, do you know what's going on with your neighbor? No. Do you know what's happening down your street? No. You might hear a few things in the newspaper, but that's about it. Well, that's the thing. They don't want you to know. Like, on the 8th, February 8th, China orders Wuhan to round up all suspected coronavirus patients and put them in quarantine camps. Yeah, I know you say that's bad, but you know what? We're doing the same thing here in the United States. We put them in, we quarantine them someplace else. The WHO Director Journal, World Health Organization Director Journal, he tweeted out that they're mobilizing the UN to assist worldwide. Boy, I hope they don't show up in the United States. People would not take that friendly, like. As a matter of fact, what I was talking about the supply chain, and not just food, there are a lot of different things that I am seeing shortages of, not like really screaming out, but starting to. There's a guy on YouTube called Ice Age Farmer, and he's got something to say about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have crossed the Rubicon with respect to this coronavirus situation. It's now being acknowledged by the media as legitimately a big deal. Indeed, the Federal Reserve came out today and acknowledged that it could spill over out of China minimally economically and slow down the global economic system. And when you see certainly the scores of plants and airlines, manufacturing supply lines that are shutting down and that certainly don't look like they're going to be opening back up come Monday morning, then it's easy actually to conclude that this is the real deal. But what is being woefully unreported, and what I will share with you and ask you to help me spread the word about tonight, is the fact that the United States depends almost wholly on China for the pharmaceutical supply here, that we import 80% of the ingredients for pharmaceuticals from China, and that we get 97% of our antibiotics from there. In fact, so severe is our dependence on the Chinese pharmaceutical industry that the chief economic advisor to President Trump himself stated, if you're the Chinese and you want to really destroy the United States, just stop sending us antibiotics. That's exactly what's happening right now. The U.S. healthcare system has already been experiencing shortages of life-saving drugs, surgeries being delayed, patients being turned away, medicines being rationed because we can't get enough drugs into this country. I should add, that is without a supply chain interruption, and it's without a medical emergency like a coronavirus epidemic. We were already having problems before these two things compound the situation. So I'm asking the question, are we now looking at an imminent collapse of the medical system in the United States? I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel. In my previous report about the plague of locusts that's swarming across East Africa and into the Middle East, there was a line from an official that has been ringing around my head ever since we shared it, because it's so poignant and important. The line was from an official in Pakistan, where they've lost nearly half of their crops this season to the locusts. And it was this: we've not been publishing news about the effects of the locusts because we wanted to avoid being unduly alarming. This significant admission that they're keeping information from the public to keep them from freaking out should be a pretty good indicator that that is absolutely taking place with a huge global scare like the coronavirus. And we know we're not getting accurate information out of China, and frankly, that's no surprise. But I can guarantee you we're not getting good information out of any of these governments right now. As we look to China, where there are 400 million people under a military-style quarantine, that is more than the population of the United States. In fact, it's 6% of the global population, just to put it in perspective. And it's growing. We've seen factories closing from Toyota, Hyundai, GM, Ford, Volkswagen, Apple. We're seeing that the economy is starting to grind to a halt. Supply lines are being halted. China has started declaring force majeure on their contracts. No one's showing up to work right now. And so we cannot accept delivery from Chile and Nigeria of your copper. We cannot accept delivery from Europe of your liquid natural gas. They've declared force majeure. These supply chains are collapsing, that we are witnessing the shutdown of global international trade. And it's just astounding. That's why the Baltic Dry Index collapsed, because there's nothing being made in China. And so there'll be nothing to ship. The Baltic Dry Index reflects shipping rates. That's as we see China renege on more and more of their deals, including food is not being delivered. It's easy to see why the Federal Reserve came out today and said, this virus might pose risks to the global economic system. And when we see billionaires like Jeff Bezos selling $3.5 billion of his own company in 1 week, it's a pretty good indicator that he is aware that we're staring down the barrel of an economic downturn. Australia is being forecast as being very severely affected due to the heavy influence that China has there, the fact that they've taken it over, frankly. And as I said, it's also affecting not just commodities, but the food flows. Thailand has stopped the flow of Chinese food into their country, and food prices are rising. And the most underreported aspect of this whole situation right now, and that is that the United States is nearly wholly dependent on China for our pharmaceutical supplies. The centralization of the global supply chain of medicines in a single country makes it vulnerable to interruption, whether by mistake or by design. If we depend on China for thousands of ingredients and raw materials to make our medicine, China could use that as a weapon against us. 80%, as I said, of those active pharmaceutical ingredients come from China, including doxycycline, which is the antibiotic used to cure anthrax exposure. Researchers say China manufacturing most U.S. medicine and vitamins poses a security threat. If China cut off our drugs today, quote, surgeries would be canceled, cancer treatments halted, kidney dialysis rationed, infections would spread without antibiotics. Yes, the global reliance on China for drug manufacturing is a reality. This has been mentioned only briefly in the mainstream media, although it was acknowledged. Quote, I never thought we would get to a point where we wouldn't have essential medicines, according to one doctor. He was forced to say, quote, it's simply not possible for us to do heart surgery if we don't have heparin. Heparin, of course, manufactured in China, comes from pig intestines, has been short since African swine fever killed off 70% of their pigs. There's no pig intestines to make heparin anymore. The shortages have already been going on here in the United States over the last years, and especially in the last 6 months, it's picked up according to medical sources. Becker's Hospital Review has been covering this story for some time. Dwindling heparin supply linked to the African swine fever. They have been having to limit allocations of the drug due to this shortfall of pig intestines. It's not sure when we're going to get back after the African swine fever. And again, this is September. This is before the coronavirus started. So we are now entering a totally new situation where there actually, A, is a severe interruption to the production of these ingredients for pharmaceuticals and to the delivery thereof. And secondly, there's a legitimate medical emergency where we need these drugs stat. It's not just the US, though, folks. The UK is already restricting exports of their 24 medicines because they've been experiencing acute shortages of those 24. The decision to restrict exports is an effort to mitigate shortages after British pharmacists found shortages of every major type of drug in the last 6 months. It's not linked to Brexit, and it's the first time it's ever happened. 116 drugs are running low in the United States during November, again, before the coronavirus. According to one doctor, it's the fourth time in the last 2 years we've had to activate the hospital's emergency operations plan for major drug shortages. 56% of U.S. hospitals had delayed or changed patient care plans because of drug shortages. So already, healthcare and drugs are being rationed. We've seen the FDA, who requires airlines to carry five different drugs, epinephrine, atropine, dextrose, and lidocaine, loosen those restrictions. The FAA actually said, well, maybe you won't have to take those drugs with you if you can't find them anymore, because they're not available anymore. So already these shortages are in the United States and they're being acknowledged, but I would suggest to start stocking up on vitamins and on any pharmaceutical drugs you need and can get ahead of time. Do whatever you need to do to ensure that you have a supply of anything you depend on, because it looks like there is going to be a supply interruption to U.S. pharmaceuticals. And that's a problem, especially because 70% of Americans depend on those prescription drugs on a day-to-day basis. One in six Americans that are on those drugs are taking psychiatric drugs, where you rip one in six people off of their psych drugs and just watch. But it looks like we are staring down the barrel of a severe economic downturn, if not a collapse, and very likely severe shortages of medical drugs and equipment in the United States. Start stocking up on food and water and any of this healthcare stuff that you need, that you depend on, because our supply chains are collapsing.
Now, I just got some information that came out of Wuhan, and I can't put a link to it, but I'm going to explain it to you. Man, you know how we've seen pictures for years of the Chinese civilians walking around the streets, and they all wear masks because of the smog, because of the contaminants in the air from the manufacturing processes and the factories around them. And I've seen pictures of Wuhan before that, before this virus hit, and it looked the same way. And it was really smoggy there. Over 30 days ago, Wuhan shut down all its factories. Well, the wind cleared everything out, and I could see that, and you could see that. There's pictures of that, where it cleared it out and started to look like downtown Los Angeles after the lead ban for gasoline. It started to clear up and look better. Well, in the past few weeks, Wuhan started to get smogged up again, and now it's worse than it's ever been in its history. You literally can't see through the smog clouds. And where is that smog coming from? It's not coming from manufacturing. There is a little bit of it that's smoke from the fires of apartments and houses being burnt. But the majority of that, and this is verified via spectroanalysis of what the smoke is, it's from burning bodies. It's from cremating bodies, human bodies. Human bodies, when they burn, put off specific materials, specific chemicals. And these chemicals are being picked up in the atmosphere. The smoke in Wuhan is about 75% of human bodies being burnt. The Chinese government is lying. And as usual, our mainstream media knows about this. They're not saying anything. Our government sure as hell is not going to say anything. They flat don't want us to get freaked out. It's that simple. And a lot of you will say, well, I agree with that. Really? So what, you're going to agree with that until the day the guy next door to you starts coughing and comes over and asks for some Robitussin or something because he doesn't have any cough syrup. So they're not going to tell us to prepare. Now, the Department of Homeland Security does have certain websites where you go and it says, prepare for an emergency. You know, get some duct tape and some plastic sheeting and that kind of stuff. Well, I can tell you right now, do that. Get some duct tape and some plastic sheeting because you might need it. You might need it. If there is an infection and it becomes extremely bad, what you do is you duct tape up your doors, your windows, so there's no air coming in. Because, by the way, Hong Kong has discovered that this coronavirus is not just transmittable via infective fluids from the person that's infected, but also through the air. If somebody who's infected is talking in the air or sneezes or coughs, those droplets are atomized, they're aerosolized. It's called an aerosol infective rate. It now can go through the air, or it always has been. Maybe that's why the infections rate is so big. Look, all I can say is you need to pay attention, especially to what the Ice Age farmer guy said. Get your ducks in a row. Get whatever you think you're going to get. If you think you need some stuff, get it now. Put food, get food, get water, get toilet paper. Keep your cars filled with gas at all times. The supply chain can break down. And everybody's been saying that. I'm part of what's known as the alternative news. The alternative news has been telling you for years that this can happen. And basically what I've been saying was that when certain things occur in our environment, other things will occur because of those. It's called the law of cause and effect. So if you can't get food shipped into where you are, then there's not going to be any food for you to buy. There are people out there that have told me point blank, I don't care. I got Safeway right down the street. I don't need to store anything. I'll just come over to your house. I tell them, just bring your own body bag, please. Well, let's go into a category that's a little lighter than the Wuhan virus. How about Islam? So Sweden, being the rape capital of the world and always loves Muslims for some strange reason, keeps letting them in. Well, just 1 in 16 of these invaders have a job that isn't subsidized by taxpayers. In other words, their taxes in Sweden are paying 15 out of 16 invaders to pretend they're working. Because that's what they do. They pretend they're working. They go there. They go, like, they say they got a job at McDonald's and they're supposed to be there from 9 to 4. They show up at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and they just hang around smoking cigarettes, ogling the women until 4 o'clock. Then they go home. That's what's happening in Sweden. And another thing that's happening in Sweden is that they're having to have massive tax hikes there to pay for the invaders. They're suffering. Sweden is suffering a financial tsunami. It's a crisis because they've been allowing so many of the invaders into their country. You know, it's the strangest thing in the world, but I've seen it. It was strange when it was only one country doing it, but now I'm seeing all of them do it, including the United States. They're allowing them in. The UK has decided to help out their Muslim citizens, because in the United States, being as screwed up as we are, we allow this sexual pervert show called the Drag Queen Storytime to happen in our libraries. So the UK said, well, now we got to be fair to the Muslim population of London. We're going to hold drag queen story times in all the Muslim areas in London. What could go wrong with that? I don't know. Nothing, probably. Well, there's a story here about a Muslim father. This isn't a bad one. But what it is that England is as bad as the United States, if not worse. And in the schools there, they're taught sexual perversion. They're taught there's like 172 genders, and here's what you do with your body parts to the other genders, and here's how you do it, and this is other things. And I mean, it's disgusting. But this one father said, my son's not going to attend any of those classes whatsoever. So they're threatening to put him in jail. Now, some news broke. A Muslim, now this is Thailand, and Thailand's all Muslim. A soldier went crazy, or he got pissed off, or I'm not sure what, but he started shooting. He killed his sergeant, stole some firearms, and went to a shopping center, and so far he's killed 20 people. And I'm not sure if they've captured him or not, but he's shooting anything that walks. You know, that's one thing that we don't have to worry too much about up here. Up here in Idaho, somebody pulls a gun, there's five more guns right there pointing at him. There, in fact, there was last year I was walking out of Costco, and in walked these three guys, each one carrying a gun case, a rifle case. Well, I just turned, and they just walked right in, kept on walking towards they went through, they showed the card, and they kept on walking into the middle of the store, and I'm right on their butt. And I turn and look, and there's four other men following them in. And these guys set these gun cases down in this one little end cap where there was some, some item that somebody was selling, a special item. And all five of us surrounded them, and I said, what you guys got in those cases? And those guys looked up and go, oh, crap, because everybody's reaching for their handgun. And he goes, oh, no, these are signs. And the guy, I said, open them slowly. And he opens it up, and there's these stand-up signs. So they were using rifle cases to carry signs in. And enough men paid attention to that even if those were firearms, it wouldn't have done them any good. All right, now we're going into the liberal psychosis. This thing is really expansive. There's a lot to this part. There is a lot to this part. It's like a page and a half almost. And you know, liberal psychosis. This is about the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. Well, they had the Democrat caucuses in Iowa. That's where everybody gets together and says, you know what? I like you. I promise I'll vote for you. And they're trying to, the Democrats are trying to determine which of the however many left, six or seven Democrats running to go against Trump, how many should be culled out. Well, it's screwed up. And I talked about this last show. I said, okay, so the Democrats decided that there's going to be an app on the cell phone where everybody could vote. And I thought, I said, what could go wrong with that? Well, this is what happened. It went wrong. It went so wrong that the apps didn't work. And the phone numbers that you called, it said, finally the app, instead of having you screw around trying to log into the app, it said, just dial this number. Well, you dial the number, and it was disconnected. So it took 2 days, and they could only release about 60% of the votes. And the DNC chair said, look, we need to have a re-canvass. We need to do this thing again. One of the problems that popped up also, Iowa has more registered voters than they do citizens in those counties. The Iowa Democrat Party blamed the fiasco on a coding issue on that code that for the app. So my son does this little research on who's that app and what's that app and who donates to that app and why is it and what's the name of the company. He's doing some research on the company, and it turns out it's George Soros. $2.6 million he's put into this company for a voting app. And you could tell when he puts his finger in it, you know it's evil. And Ted Cruz came out and I like that. He said, you know, these people can't even get their own act together, but they want to run our health care. Between you and me, this is nothing more than another example of the incompetence that's happening all over the United States. I'm astounded at it. And you've heard me talk about this before. Every year that I've been on a radio, and it's been almost 21 and a half, 22 years, I'm something like that. Each year I say, you know, the people are getting more incompetent than the year before. And it is. I think this whole Iowa thing is just a whole coincidence of incompetence. Because if it's just one person that's a screw-up, that's fine. You can unscrew it. But when everybody is incompetent, that's when it gets bad. Now, here's something that is totally stupid. New York City. New York, right? Andrew Cuomo, governor, a communist. So this New York man was attacked by MS-13 gang members. And he was going to testify against them. So the police department said, well, we'll protect you. Well, except for the minor fact that according to New York's liberal laws that help the criminal aliens, they turned these scum loose while they were waiting for trial. You get that, right? Waiting for trial, they turned them loose. And they found that guy and beat him to death. Here's something else that's really going to upset everybody that who lives in New York, who travels to Canada for business. I get briefings from the Department of Homeland Security all the time. And one of them it's very simple. It says right here, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Office of Public Affairs, Department of Homeland Security suspends new enrollments or re-enrollments in the CBP Trusted Traveler programs for New York residents. What does that mean? So I'm reading this thing. New York passed what's called a green light law. Now you got to put all of these ducks in a row. Basically, they passed a law that said anybody, any criminal alien, any illegal, anybody can get a driver's license or an ID card in New York. Number one. Okay. Number two, any criminal alien that's arrested, New York is not allowed to give the information in any way, shape, or form to the Department of Homeland Security or ICE, Customs and Border Patrol. So the federal government is not allowed to know that there's a criminal alien that's about to be released from New York state prisons or jails because New York has passed a law that says we don't want the federal government to get a hold of these poor, misunderstood people, so we're going to turn them loose instead. So because New York, Andrew Cuomo, has decided that he's giving more safety and security to the criminal aliens than his own citizens, the Department of Homeland Security is now not allowing people to cross in the border unless they go through a check each time. See, the Trusted Traveler Program, well, you have a background check which determines that you are U.S. citizens and that you're a safe guy and you're not a criminal and blah, blah, blah. And then that way, when you cross the border to go into Canada, you just show them your card. And they go, go on in. That's going to be canceled because now the CBP and ICE, the officers, they can't protect themselves. They have no idea if they're letting criminals in. Canada is going to be canceling it. This is typically insane. But this is, again, this is the area where we're at right now, isn't it? This is the area of insanity, the liberal psychosis. There's a new gun bill the Democrats are putting out. And I got to tell you, I don't know how many of you haven't figured this out yet, but Democrat is the evil that walks on two legs in the United States. They are purely evil. They're not misguided. They're not the other end of the aisle. They're not any of that crap. They are flat evil. This bill they're pushing forward would require all Americans to obtain a federal license to buy or own a gun. And that means you'd have to go through a federal background check. Not just to buy a gun, but to have the license to own guns. And each time you buy a gun, you'd have to go through another background check. All military, now this is all in the same legislation, all military assault weapons, and they have a list of what they call assault weapons, would be banned. And you couldn't buy ammunition or even a single shot 22 under the age of 21. This is what the Democrats, see, you know, as long as they were screwing around with Trump, they weren't pulling this crap. As soon as they got they got whipped, tucking their tails between their legs, they went back to work. Now, Maryland passed what they call a red flag law. That means you piss somebody off or you upset anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. They can turn you in and say, this guy is a danger to himself or the public, and I think he owns a gun. Oh, that's a red flag law. Red flag goes up. Send the police over there to confiscate the guy's guns and then have him prove his innocence in court. Yeah, that's not working out too well. So, Ferndale, Maryland, they went to a 61-year-old man's house, and the police showed up and said, we're here to take your guns, and the man said, you're not getting them, and they shot him dead. Oh, here's another great idea that's really panning out well. You know, this green energy thing that the communists are always talking about in our Congress and Senate? Well, they have these wind turbines. Now, I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. East of us in Wyoming are these giant areas where these giant wind turbines are to create energy. Now, that's a whole different story, but I can tell you what's happening is these things are burning out. The biggest problem they have on wind turbines, on these generators, are the blades break or they get tweaked. And the bearings go out in the generators. Well, it's cheaper to throw them away and buy a new one than it is to repair these. And what they have to, so what they're doing is we're talking blades that are 40 feet long, 60 feet long. They have to cut them into pieces, and then there's nowhere, and they're fiberglass, most of them. So this green giants, what they call them, these wind turbines, they're piling up in landfills. They got nowhere else to put them. Let's see. Oh, some news about up here. This was good. Bonner County Sheriff. Now, this is up north of here. North of Coeur d'Alene is a city called Sandpoint. Sandpoint was taken over. Now, there's nothing wrong with hippies. It was taken over by hippies in the 70s and 80s. But there is something wrong with Democrat hippies. They're communists, which means they're anti-gun. So Sandpoint is a massively liberal to the communist edge city. And the mayor of Sandpoint doesn't like guns. So he sent a letter to every mayor of every city in the state of Idaho trying to have all of them collude with him to get the right to ban firearms within the city limits or within city property. Now, here's a problem with that. Idaho has a Second Amendment, which forbids that. It forbids any locations, any locales, any city, county, anything that's owned in any way, shape, or form by the government to create gun laws. You may not. Idaho is one of the few states that has a who gives a crap. You don't even need a license to carry concealed or exposed. It's called constitutional carry. So the Bonner County Sheriff is suing the mayor of Sandpoint because he's violating the Constitution. And here's another thing. This is a Republican state, right? This is what I'm told. So we had a governor who was nothing more than a rhino. In fact, most of the Republicans in politics in the state of Idaho are nothing more than Republican in name only. Well, the last governor we had brought in Common Core. This is a communist training program for children. And Idaho got to be a laughing state. Our children were graduating as blithering idiots. You know, with some, you can tell a high school graduate from Idaho when he can't even add. I'm not exaggerating. I go into a store, now the power's down. So I'm going into a store and the cash register is open and they're taking cash only. So I bought something that's $18.50 and I gave the kid a $20 bill. And he's looking at the cash register and he's trying to think for a second. He said, $20? But it's only $18.50, so I got to give him change. So he pulls out his cell phone and starts doing calculation on his cell phone. And I said, you're a high school graduate from up here, huh? And he goes, oh, yeah. Lake City High. It just went right over his head. I said, okay, you owe me $1.50. He goes, okay. Oh, my God. Okay. We're not done with the psychosis. Believe me, we're not done with this liberal psychosis. Democrats, not just the gun control thing. They're on the criminal alien kick, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and there's a new bill coming out called the New Way Forward. You got to hear this to believe it.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last night on this show, we told you about what may be the single most extreme and disruptive piece of legislation ever to gain widespread support in the Congress in the history of this country. It's called the New Way Forward Act. It's before Congress right now and has been for almost 2 months. And yet so far, it has been essentially ignored by the country's major media outlets, which are either too embarrassed of it or too ignorant to cover it. That's a disservice to you because it's really impossible to describe just how radical this bill is. If passed, it would remake our immigration system for the express purpose of helping foreign-born criminals live here. The bill would allow people who've committed serious felonies in other countries to move to the United States legally. It would make it nearly impossible for federal immigration officials to detain immigrants, no matter how potentially dangerous they are. Perhaps most infuriatingly and remarkably, it would require taxpayers to transport deported criminals back into the United States. In other words, you break our laws, you hurt our people, we'll send you a plane ticket. We'll pay for you to come back. It's utter and total insanity. And yet it's very popular in the Democratic Party. So far, this bill has 44 Democratic co-sponsors. On the screen is a list of some of their names. Some of these people you've heard of before. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. They're celebrities, but some are obscure. Earl Blumenau, for example, has represented Oregon for decades. Before this, he's maybe been best known for running the Congressional Bicycle Caucus. And yet, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Blumenauer has decided to wreck the country. Now, we'd like to talk to Earl Blumenauer on this show. We'd like to hear why he supports this bill. We'd like to talk to any of the people who've co-sponsored it. We reached out to many of them today to come on and defend their views, but not one of them agreed to come. Why? Because they're cowards. And yet we think you ought to know what they're doing. Here's the bill's primary sponsor, Jesus Garcia of Illinois. After introducing the bill, Garcia said this.
This is not a radical project. We are simply asking for a fair shot and the opportunity for immigrants to stay in the country they call home. A New Way Forward does just that. It would end mandatory immigration detention, end the automatic pipeline to deportation through the criminal justice system. It would end deportation for people who have had contact with the criminal legal system. It would end the practices of local police engaging in immigration enforcement and the increased ever-policing of communities of color. It would decriminalize immigration.
This is not a radical project. Of course, the opposite is true. The bill is completely radical. It would transform America into a place you don't recognize. Many of the sponsors of this bill come from the fringes of the Democratic Party, as you would expect. But not all of them do. Consider Congressman Andy Levin. Levin represents the suburbs north of Detroit. Levin's district leans blue, but it's still essentially bipartisan. Voters there went for Hillary Clinton, for example, by just 8 points. So there's no chance a majority of Andy Levin's voters want to send plane tickets to armed robbers in Guatemala so they can move next door. And in fact, nobody wants that, no matter what they claim on Twitter. Yet Levin is trying to do that right now. And that's what's scary about this bill. It's happening in the dark. No one's talking about it. Those who are dismiss it as unlikely. It'll never happen. And that's a mistake. Things change fast in modern America. On issue after issue, from ending the Second Amendment to banning biological gender to the open and aggressive racism of identity politics, yesterday's extremism has become today's Democratic Party platform. That's how it works now. 4 years ago, when Bernie Sanders mounted his first campaign for president, Vox.com pressed him on why he didn't back open borders for the world. Sanders responded this way, quote, "No, that's a Koch brothers proposal, which says essentially there is no United States. It would make everybody in America poorer," end quote. Of course, Sanders was entirely right. And for that crime, he was savaged by Vox and all the other angry children in wokedom. Resisting the abolition of the United States was, in their view, needless to say, proof that Sanders was a hardened bigot, a racist. 4 years later, Sanders has become obedient. His new platform contains all the usual open borders rhetoric: ending all deportations, abolishing ICE, giving a blanket amnesty to all illegal aliens in the country. Now, a New Hampshire voter recently asked Sanders why his views had changed so radically. The man who once called lax immigration enforcement a Koch brothers conspiracy just 4 years ago suddenly sounded very much like a Koch brother himself.
We have 11 million undocumented here. Many of those workers, by the way, are being exploited right now. You know, Trump wants to throw everybody out of the country. If he threw out people out of the country, the price of food in this country would skyrocket. Who do you think is picking the crops and planting all over this country?
Who's picking the crops? Actually, machines are picking most of the crops in this country now and planting them, too. Bernie's almost 80 years old, and apparently nobody told him that. But either way, it is still shocking to hear that explanation from a self-described socialist. So, yes, workers are being exploited, but think about what avocados would cost if citizens had to pick them. Now, Sanders isn't stupid. He has to know his party's turn on immigration hurts workers and the country, but he desperately wants to be president of the United States. So he goes along with it. You're seeing quite a bit of this, by the way. Joe Biden, who's supposedly the most moderate man in politics, old Uncle Joe, now is pushing for illegal aliens to get off on DUIs.
You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
The confused ravings of a fading old man? No. They all think that way now. If Democrats win the 2020 election, some version of the New Way Forward Act will likely become law. Once again, keep this in mind. Things move fast in this country, so be ready.
All right, under the liberal psychosis, I have another category here. I'm not going to tell you what I called it. But let's just say that Sanders and Buttigieg, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, whatever, they're leading in the Iowa Democratic caucus. And Buttigieg is leading because, well, they sort of stopped saying private things about Buttigieg. And now people are finding out afterwards.
You're saying that he has a same-sex partner?
He? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Are you kidding? Then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
He's a human being, right? Just like you and me. And should it really matter? That's what...
Well, he better read the Bible.
There was a lot more to it, and there were more than just her requesting her card back. See, what it is they go to this caucus, and they don't vote. What they do is they fill out a card, and they say, I will vote for this Democrat or this Republican. I'll vote for you. Okay, so, and she was saying, I want my card back. I don't want that kind of creature in the White House. See, Buttigieg is a... to put it nicely, he's a homosexual. When he first started to run, why, he would go up on stage with his husband, and they'd kiss and hug. Yeah, on stage, and his the PR people from the Democrat National Committee said, Pete, you got to stop that. Let's not tell everybody that you're a homo, okay? Don't do that. Just let them find out later, and they'll go, well, okay, now that we voted him in. So the head, the best chance so far that the DNC has for going against Trump is a flagrant sexual pervert and a communist, Sanders. You getting any clues yet what kind of people the Democrats are made up of? And then we have good old Pocahontas. That's Elizabeth Warren. She's all upset because there are certain schools out there, Catholic schools, Christian schools, that don't allow sexual perverts to teach in there for some obvious reason. And she's all upset about that, and she said people need to get a high quality public education, especially all the LGBTQ plus queer LMFP, whatever the hell they call themselves now. Which is, that's bad. I mean, you're listening to another front runner Democrat tell everybody how sexual perversion is the way it should be. How about West Point, U.S. Military Academy? West Point is force feeding all of the students there, all of the cadets. They have to go to a special educational curriculum on inclusion and diversity and gender norms, how to talk to people who have decided that they're not male or female or what have you. This is disgusting. This is truly gross. I have the link. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com. On the left-hand side, you see the show notes. You go there, and it's self-explanatory. But this is purely sick and disgusting. And this is the deep state. This is what's being taught in the United States to the people, men and women, who are going to lead our military into war. Now, I got another little category under racists. And we have AOC, right? Another one of these racist, insane females that's in Congress. And she says that, Rush Limbaugh is a violent racist. And he cheapens the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You know, the president on the 4th, had his State of the Union address. Oh, I was going to play it. I played it last year. I should have played this one because, oh my God, it was great. He didn't care that the communists out there. See, you have the Republicans on one side of the hall and you have the communists on the other. He didn't care. The communists weren't applauding. He didn't care. He just kept going right over him. And by the way, my wife sent me this poem. You know, the devil came back from Georgia, or devil came to Georgia, or something like that. And at the end of the song, there's a little saying, and this is a poem going around the internet. The devil bowed her head because she knew that she'd been beat. And she laid that golden pen on the ground at Donald's feet. And Donald said, "Nancy, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you drunk old bat, I'm still your president." Anyway, he just went right through. It was great. Let's see. Barnes & Noble. Oh, this is so stupid. This is why Barnes & Noble is going out of business. They have liberals in charge of them. So Barnes & Noble decided to rewrite. Now, Barnes & Noble did a major thing that no other book company has ever done. You know Barnes & Noble. They sell books, right? The big, giant stores. They have their own printing presses. When they discover that a book is a hot seller, they buy the rights to it and print it themselves. I've gotten some books from them that would cost me $150 elsewhere, and I got them for $29.95. So they decided to do things. They rewrite books. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde wore a turban. Frankenstein's monster was Mexican. It's a fake diversity nonsense crap. And these are all of the stories that we're used to. They have reprinted to take out all the whiteness. All the whiteness. They want anything but white in it. And in fact, speaking of whiteness, the Iowa caucus was condemned because it was a sickening display of whiteness. There were a few people there, black people, brown people, you know, whatever. But it was a lot of white people. But they were. It's a sickening display. Elizabeth Warren's campaign in Nevada. Everyone that wasn't white quit. And they're trying to keep it quiet. Why? They say women of color quit her Nevada campaign. Well, people have to understand, and they're not going to. If they're Democrats, they will never understand, unfortunately. But racism is born from Democrats. All Democrats are racist. If you want to, maybe not to your face, but when they turn their back, they were racist. And Candace Owens, you know who Candace Owens is? She's a black woman. She's very articulate, very intelligent. And Donald Trump said African-American poverty has declined to the lowest rate ever recorded at his State of the Union message. And Candace Owens added, and not a single Democrat congressman applauded because they want their slaves back. And that's the exact truth. That is the exact truth. So we got another category called socialist. Now, I don't know if you heard this. You might have. Bloomberg. He's this other communist that now has decided he's going to buy his way into the Democratic nomination. Oh, he's not going to even attend any of the debates because, well, he doesn't need to. He's rich. He's just going to buy his way in, and the Democrat National Committee is going to say, okay, you got a few billion dollars to throw at us? We'll take it. Well, he had a meeting but he was bragging about doing something. Here, let's see if you can figure it out.
It's just a real pleasure to be able to work with the Sierra Club. We have just closed the 304th coal-fired power plant in this country. And yes, it deserves a round of applause, a lot of work. But it was, I can take some credit for it because I guess we funded it, but it was the Sierra Club that really did all of the hard work. And now we're working overseas as well, and we've just closed, the 80th or 85th power plant in Europe as well. You've just got to stop the use of coal. It's not the only thing to do to save our planet, but it's certainly one of the things to do, and the Sierra Club deserves a great deal of credit.
And the sad thing is that communist is bragging about doing it worldwide. So he's shutting down coal-fired plants that create electricity. And it doesn't matter what country needs the electricity. Doesn't matter in any way, shape, or form, or how many thousands of people are working in that chain. He wants to shut it down. Okay. All right, now we're in the Trump category. So NBC says that voting for Trump is an unconstitutional racist act. It's a hate crime. Really? Well, that's basically what they say. And then we have, see, the mainstream media, being the elitists out there, and I hate to say this, but you see males and females on TV that are sexual perverts, and the Democrats look up to them, and they believe everything they say, like Ellen DeGeneres. And then they have the stupidest man on earth, or is it on TV? I don't remember how they call it. But he's Don. Don, that's who it is, yeah. And they call us stupid.
Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're, oh, y'all elitists are them.
You elitists with your geography and your maps. in your spelling.
Math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, your geography, knowing other countries.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is.
Nothing like the elitists looking down on us poor pinheads. Well, did you know? Now, you know about about John Bolton's book that quote-unquote got leaked to the New York Times and all that. But the publisher says, no, we gave a transcript of the book to the White House to read. So the White House must have leaked it. And the White House saying, there's no way in hell we'd leak that thing. Well, guess who was in charge of looking at the books about any of the manuscripts that were possibly going to be printed for the public? Well, there is a official. There's a gentleman that is actually given the book to read. It turns out that this guy that the book was given to was the twin brother of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. You know, the guy that was so adamant that Trump, at the hearings, that Trump was an evil bastard. Well, it was his brother that was in charge of reading that book and clearing it and deciding that it was okay to print. Well, now that Trump's been vindicated, Vindman and his brother were fired the other day and walked out of the White House. Escorted out, both of them. We've all known that Mitt Romney was a traitor to both the Republican Party and America. Well, he just showed it again. He was the first in history to ever vote to convict a president from his own party. Well, let's see how far he goes in his political life from this point on. Now, if you were watching the State of the Union message that Trump delivered at the end of his speech, you noticed the little Wicked Witch of the West standing behind him pick up the papers that he had handed her and tear them in half. That could be a crime. And they're investigating that right now because, there is a special code about handling legitimate official government documents. And it says, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, and it goes on to that, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. Well, we'll see what happens with that. This is so petty. The communists are saying, oh, well, Trump and Pelosi are both so petty because Trump wouldn't shake her hand. I watched the close-up of that when he walks up to the podium and hands her, both her and Pence, copies of his speech and then turns around. She reaches out to shake his hand. She reached out half-heartedly. He was already turning, and he didn't see anything. On February 3rd, Rush Limbaugh made an announcement on his show.
It's a struggle for me because I had to inform my staff earlier today. I can't escape, even though people are telling me it's not the way to look at it. I can't help but feel that I'm letting everybody down with this. But the upshot is that I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. Diagnosis confirmed by two medical institutions back on January 20th. First realized something was wrong on my birthday weekend, January 12th. And I wish I didn't have to tell you this. And I thought about not telling anybody. I thought about trying to do this without anybody knowing, because I don't like making things about me. But there are going to be days that I'm not going to be able to be here because I'm undergoing treatment or I'm reacting to treatment. And I know that that would inspire all kinds of curiosity with people wondering what's going on. And the worst thing that can happen is when there is something going on and you try to hide it and cover it up, it's eventually going to leak. And then people are going to, why didn't you just say it? Why did you try to fool everybody? And it's not that I want to fool anybody. It's just that I don't want to burden anybody with it. And I haven't wanted to, but it is what it is. And you know me, I'm the mayor of Realville.
Now, that kind of shocked me when I heard that. I met Rush the first day he was on the radio in Sacramento. He was actually doing a live spot at Philco Electronics in Rio Linda. And I'd went there to just to meet him, to see who he was. So we talked for about a half an hour, and he did a few spots there. And we conversed back and forth for the next few years. And then he got busy, I got busy, and we just dropped off. But I heard that. And it really, it kind of shocked me because I've listened to him from day one. And many of you have. My son listened to Rush Limbaugh's radio show since he cared, which was about 2.5 years old. And then on the State of the Union, now this was February 3rd when Rush said this. On February 4th, Trump did the State of the Union. And during his speech, he said something to Rush.
Almost every American family knows the pain when a loved one is diagnosed with a serious illness. Here tonight is a special man, beloved by millions of Americans, who just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news, but what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet. Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country. And Rush, in recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire, and all of the incredible work that you have done for charity, I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I will now ask the First Lady of the United States to present you with the honor, please. Rush and Catherine, congratulations.
And if you were watching, that, you would seen Rush was in he was in shock because he'd known he was going to get the award. He thought maybe it'll be given to me, you know, on a golf course or some other day. He literally was in shock. Now, I know he doesn't listen to my show, and nobody on his show listens to my show, but I want to wish both him and Catherine the best, and we're all praying for you. If anybody can beat this, you can do it, Rush. Now, there's some good news in all of this stuff. I received notice that the, you remember in the Ukraine that Biden had threatened the prosecutor that he was going to get him fired because he was, not because, and he didn't say this, but not because he was looking at investigating Biden's son, but because he just didn't like him. So Biden threatened him. Biden threatened Ukrainian president and said, you won't get the money unless you fire this guy. Now, this news that I'm going to tell you is reported nowhere, except in a intellectual newspaper in France. The prosecutor that got fired still has legal rights. His name is Shokin. Prosecutor Shokin files a complaint against Joe Biden for interference in Ukraine's legal proceedings. This is a criminal act in Ukraine. He has filed against him. It's under Article 214 of the Criminal Procedure Code of Ukraine. That's the first step. Second step is for the legal department of the government to pick that up and start investigating. And this was January 29th when it was filed. I'll have a link to that. I'm sure you'll all want to see it. Got a real quick thing here under government threat. You have Siri. A friend of mine has Siri. It's this little weird speaker thing. It's a column. It's about 6 inches tall, and you sit it on your counter and you say, Siri, play Mantovani for me. Siri, turn down the TV, turn up the lights, whatever, if you got it, your house all hooked up to it. Well, it turns out, and we know this because I've told you this before, they listen to you. And there's this guy, he's Spanish. So he talks to it in English, of course. And then one day he's listening to television and he has it on a Spanish channel. The next time he talks to Siri, it answers him in Spanish. Now, I have in my store here in Hayden, in Survival Enterprises, I happen to have about 250 10-inch tapered candles. You know, they're about a half-inch diameter. Standard white tapered candles. They're an 8-hour burn time, and I've had them for a while, and I sell them for 10 cents a piece, I'll sell 5 to 10 of them a week. And then we had a windstorm here. You know, it was last show. It took out my studio. I had to go down to the bunker and record. Well, the next few days, I sold almost all of those candles. People were not ready for that windstorm. And when the power went out, they didn't have lights. So what I want to talk about now is non-electric lighting. Duh. I mean, it's astounding. People, I say non-electric lighting and people go, what do you mean non-electric lighting? Explain. That means having lights without electricity. Oh, you mean solar? No, I mean go back 150 years. What did they use? Well, they could use a fireplace. That's lighting. They could bundle a bunch of sticks together and make a torch, kind of. You take a bowl and you can burn fat. There's many different ways that you can make light. The Egyptians would render fat. They'd boil it down and get all the thick stuff out. And they would have a bowl that looked like it had a pour spout on one end, except the it was just a groove in it. And what they would do is they would take horsehair and they would braid it to make a wick. And you put the fat in the bowl and you'd lay the horsehair in the bowl with just the tip of the horsehair hanging off the edge of that little bowl. And then that would wick up the fat and you would light the tip of that. And it was just a little light. And they would make larger ones like that. Or there were different ways that they could do this, but there's many different ways that you can make things, lights, like candles. There are other ways to do it. Well, the basic thing is candles, all right? But people like also pressurized lanterns. They like kerosene lanterns. They want more light than you can get from a candle. There's all kinds of different things. Nowadays you can buy these little bulbs that you can sit outside for half an hour, and then they'll put off a little bit of light for about 8 hours inside the house. I had a friend that had a 10 by 20 shed, and you're going to love how he lit this thing up. You ever seen those walkway guide lights that you poke in the ground and they have a little solar panel on top, and then when the sun goes down, a little tiny LED light inside lights up? Well, if you pop the top of that off, you'll find a little AA or AAA battery inside of there. So he bought dozens of those. And he hooked those things up all around the edges of his shed. And then he ran wires he went to Walmart. Day after Christmas, they were blowing off all of the Christmas tree ornaments. Well, he got the LED ones. Now, a lot of the LED ones, they don't run on 110. They will run on like 2 to 5 volts. So you have a power adapter that takes 120 volts down to like 5 volts. You plug that in a wall and you hook these LEDs to it. That's what he got. And he got a whole bunch of the white ones. So he wired them in to those little miniature solar panels. So he always had lights inside of there. That's ingenious. For a little dwarf Italian, that guy does pretty good. And he knows I'm talking about him. So there's all kinds of different ways you can get light. You just have to be ingenious. But to be in an emergency, a lot of times people, when lights go out, people are like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Where's the candle? What do I do? Okay, have matches. Have cigarette lighters. Have them around your house. I have candles and matches in different spots in my house. I have the matches and the candles right there. And there's all kinds. You know what? You can get candles. I'll tell you something. Go to yard sales. There's never a shortage of candles. I find thousands of candles. I'm not going to buy them all. I've already done that. But I get like what's called container candles. And they're the simplest things in the world to make if you want to make them. Now, I remember as a kid, Grandma would make dip candles. And it was real simple. She'd take a wick about 2 feet long, and she would fold it in half, maybe it's a little longer than that, and she'd hold the middle of it in her hand. And then she'd have a pot that had, and I'm not kidding, about 10 gallons of wax. She didn't use a double boiler for safety. She just had this cast iron pot that was full of wax. And she would dip both ends of that wick in there and then pull it up and could lightly swing it around a little bit so it dried. I'm talking 10 seconds. And then dip it again. And that would go on for hours. Not just one candle, but she would dip and dip and dip until the thing was about a half inch diameter. Both of them, because there's two candles now. And she would take them and hang them over this rack she had for them to dry. So she'd end up having probably 40 or 50 candles, two to a wick. And that's how they'd store them. They'd take them down into the pickle cellar, and they'd hang them on hooks. And there'd be hundreds of candles down there. Now, she would add things to make them harder wax, because like you can go in the store and buy paraffin. But you want to be able to have, and if you make a paraffin candle, let's just say whatever size it is, it burns 4 hours. Well, there's hardening chemical that you can add to the wax, which will make it burn twice as long. And there's also scents that you can add. Well, if you want your candle to smell like Brut, just sprinkle a few drops of Brut in it when you're making it. Now, I made candles when I was a hippie up in South Lake Tahoe, and I would take beeswax. And I would take a wick and I would roll it in the beeswax real tight. And then I would take that beeswax tube that I have now and I would dip it a few times in different colored wax. And the wax would fill in the cells of the beeswax, and then I'd hang it up to dry. So I made a lot of candles. I had a good business up there for a while. So you can make your candles or you can buy your candles. And I go to yard sales and I find so many candles. You know, you go into a store and you find this container candle is what it would be called. And this is like, I'll give you an example. A round glass container, about 4 inches in diameter, about 6 inches high, that has a nice glass lid on top of it. And there's it's all red wax inside with a wick. And you pop the top off and it smells like lavender or rose or cherry or something like that. Those are $4. I see those at the yard sales for a quarter. I buy all I can get my hands on. I've used hundreds of candles up, especially up here, when the power goes out. When the power went out, I was at the store. It's dark, so I went over to my wick, to the 10-inch tapers. I got one. I got a little plate. I lit the tip of the wick, and I tipped it sideways so that it would melt wax, and it dripped a little puddle in the middle of the plate. To where I put the candle in that pile, it cooled, and now I've got a candle stand. Now, the problem with a candle is the longer the wick, the hotter it is, the brighter it is, and the faster the wax melts. So you got to keep trimming the wick down. Now, one of the things with candles, and not just candles, but light, is something called refraction. This is where you use reflective capabilities to increase the lumens, to increase the light that you have. You could take a candle. Just take a candle that's like 4 inches tall. Sit it in a little candle holder and light it. Okay, so it's got like 3 lumens. But if you put that little candle in a glass container that's octagon shaped, well, now it's putting out 8 lumens. Because it's being refracted by the glass and amplified. And then if you take a plate, and we've done this so many times, I take aluminum foil and I crinkle it up, and then I flatten it out, and then I wrap it around a plate, and I put that plate behind the candle. That, in turn, amplifies it further. It also directs it. Light travels in a straight line. So it directs all the light forward instead of in a 360-degree angle. So there's different things you can do to increase the output from a simple candle. There are places you can go to find the old-style candle holders. Well, if you watch some of the old movies, you'll see somebody, the guy holding up this candle, and it's got a glass enclosure. And then there's a polished brass plate behind the enclosure. So it directs the light away from him instead of 360 degrees. So it's not going to hurt you a bit to stock up on candles. Well, hell, I still got 150 of them left here. I got more. And for 10 cents a piece, that's cheap. So there's, you can go all kinds of places and find candles. I don't, you know, I don't recommend going into Walmart or something and buying the candles because they're not cheap. They're decorative. People don't have the common sense necessary to realize that candles can actually save your life if you have no light. And I don't need to go through the psychological aspect of having light. It's dark. You have light. Psychologically, it helps you. Now, I don't need to waste my time with that. You know what I'm talking about. And by the way, if you break a candle, I bought candles before, and I'm talking about the taper ones, the tall ones, okay? And they were almost U-shaped because the person left them in the car, or they left them in a hot garage or a hot storage area, and the candles will warp. And of course, once they're warped, most people think, well, they're garbage. I'll sell them for a penny a piece. Well, you can fix candles. Any candles that are bent or warped, you just get a pot of hot water. And you just put the candle in it. As the candle warms up, it'll become softer, and you can mold it into position. And I've done this before, and then I take it out, and I would roll it to smooth it out on wax paper. And the candle's straight now. And if you break a candle, well, that's easy. You take another candle, you light it, and you use it as bonding material. You let the wax drip into the crack. And then you just hold the two pieces together. It's that simple. See, there's tricks to all of this stuff, especially if you're cheap like me. So the candles, and you, now we get into the realm of common sense. Candles can start fires. So don't put a candle in the window, especially if you have drapes. Don't put a candle near newspapers. I've had people put candles on newspapers because they wanted the newspaper to catch the drips. Then the candle falls over and starts fire. Because think of this. The wick burns best because it's soaked with wax. So how is it, what do you think is going to happen if that wax drips down onto some other porous material like newspaper and then gets lit? Now you have a giant candle, which is going to set your house on fire. So the law of common sense has to come into play here. If you're going to use candles, remember they're dangerous. In the old days, they didn't have lights on Christmas trees. You actually had little tiny, tiny candles like birthday cake candles, and you would light them on the tree. And there would be a fire. Not every time, but you know, you have a cat come out and poke at something and the tree wiggles, catches the dry tree on fire, boom, there you go. You just have to pay attention. You've got to be careful with what you're doing. It's real, real simple. Now then we get into lanterns. And there's different types of lanterns. There's the typical what you would call kerosene lanterns. Let's see, where is the place that sells them? W.T. Kirkman. W.T. Kirkman is world known for selling oil lamps and lanterns. Resale, wholesale, import, export, etc., etc., etc. I bought for them for years. I used to sell Dietz lanterns. You ever hear of Dietz lantern? Dietz is the old school lantern. It was created in 1840. And they've been making lanterns for years and years and years. They moved to Hong Kong some years back and started making them in Hong Kong, which was funny because it was Amish. So you get a bunch of Amish people wandering around Hong Kong. But they make these lanterns and they burn on kerosene. Now, most people nowadays don't understand what I mean by kerosene, because it's been changed so much because of politics. Kerosene is clear. But what happens is kerosene can burn in diesel vehicles. So when you buy kerosene, you don't pay tax on it. But when you buy diesel, you do. So they wanted to make sure people weren't screwing the government. So they started to dye kerosene. And they'd have a red dye. Well, unfortunately, if the kerosene is not clear, it will, in a short period, clog up your wick. And then you just have to throw your wick away and start over from scratch. So you want clear kerosene. And that's what kerosene lanterns are made for. And you can find clear kerosene. When I moved up here in 99, I wanted 100 gallons of it. And I didn't think there'd be a problem. And nobody in North Idaho sold clear kerosene. Unless you wanted to buy a gallon at a time. Now, you can do this. You can go buy a gallon at a time from Home Depot or Lowe's or Ace Hardware, you know, something like that, North 40, whatever. But that's like $6 a gallon. So I called around. In fact, I called a bunch of processing plants in Oregon and said, who do you sell clear kerosene to? I found one Chevron station in Spokane. And I got 50. I got 20 of those 5-gallon containers. They're special 5-gallon containers for kerosene. They're the same that you put gasoline in, except they're colored different. I think they're blue. And I went and filled it up myself. And he said, you know, you pump it yourself, you fill it up. Just pay me when you're done. That stuff stores forever. I mean, literally. I put some in a kerosene Dietz lantern. And that kerosene has been in there for 20 years. I light it once a year. It works just fine. So the kerosene lanterns, and by the way, kerosene lanterns come from real tiny ones. If you go to Walmart, you'll find kerosene lanterns. You can get real, real small ones. Now, let me back up here a little bit. There's three types of kerosene lanterns. There's what's called the cold blast, and this is, you've seen these lanterns, you hold them up by a bale, right? And there's a glass globe there. There's cold blast, there's hot blast, and then there's what's called dead flame. Now, if you've ever seen, and I know you have, those lanterns that just has a glass bowl, like a ball, with a foot on it, a stand, and then there is a tall chimney that you can pop off, and you turn the wick up a little bit, and you light it, and then you set the chimney back on. Well, that's called a dead flame. And how that works is if you take the chimney off, and you can buy these at Walmart, they sell them. If you take the chimney off and set it down and you look down where the wick is, you'll see a plate around there. And that plate has perforations and it has holes in it. That's so oxygen can be pulled into the burning area. Okay? It's a dead flame. It's nothing special. You can't make it brighter. Can't make it dim. And you can raise the wick, lower the wick, but that's how it works. Okay. Now those, and all kerosene lanterns, you have to keep the wick trimmed. And now if you're going to fill a kerosene lantern, doesn't matter which kind it is, it could be a dead flame, it could be a cold flame, it could be a hot flame. It doesn't matter. Cold blast, hot blast. You do the same thing. Like, say you got a new lantern and you want to put a wick in it. Well, what you do, both ends of the wick usually are a little frayed. So you take some masking tape and you tape it. You put it along the edge of one side, of one end of the wick. And what you're doing is pulling down the frayed parts. So you lay that masking tape around it and you squeeze it tight and then you feed it from the top in and then you turn the little knurled knob and you pull the wick down. And as soon as you pull the wick down far enough, now this is obviously before you've put the wick into kerosene, then you pull the masking tape on and you set the wick down and you lower it down all the way. Now you want the wick to be trimmed straight across. If you trim it at an angle or if you trim it rounded, then it's going to burn more in the pointed area than it will in the flat area. You'll throw the flame off and it'll flicker and it won't burn evenly. So you want your wick trimmed straight across. And then you would fill your font up. It's called a font is what it's called, that little ball, that bowl or ball. It's called a font. Now, if it's a dead flame lantern, you fill it up till you don't want it real high. About 3/4 full is what you do. Now, you do not want to mix fuels. There's different fuels that you can use on these lanterns. One of them is the kerosene, exactly like I said. The other is what's called lamp oil. Now, You cannot mix them. If you have a lantern and you use kerosene in it, you cannot put lamp oil in there. It's not going to mix right, and your wick's going to get screwed up. And if you have a lantern that's ever used lamp oil in it, then don't put kerosene in. You can tell the difference. Like if you go to Walmart, usually they sell this kit where you get a dead flame lantern and a quart of lamp oil. And it'll be red or blue or green. And sometimes they have a pine scent. Okay, that's fine. That's good for an emergency. And you probably got enough fuel in there to burn for a week at low light. But if you get one of those lanterns and it's ever had oil in it, don't ever put kerosene in. All right, so as long as you got that, don't mix them. I guess in an emergency, you could. If you do have to mix them, what you're going to have to do is clean the lantern. You're going to have to throw the wick away, buy a new wick, and then wash out the inside with hot soapy water. Get it to dry. And you want to dry the inside of a lantern, use a hairdryer. Just, you know, dry it up good. Let it sit, and then you refill it with whatever you want to put into the thing. Okay, so the dead flame lanterns are very simple. You can buy them all kinds of different places. Yard sales, I'm not kidding you. People get this stuff, and they pay $29.95, and I end up buying it for a buck at a yard sale. So just look at it, and it's good to have all different versions. And what I do is I have them. I have bunches of them all over the house. Wherever one of these lanterns is, I have matches there also. Now, on the cold blast, what a cold blast lantern is a lantern. These things are usually made out of tin, okay? And you're going to find them. They're probably made in China. There are some made in Germany. They're very expensive, and they're very high quality. They're not that expensive, actually. They're about twice the cost of the standard Dietz kerosene lanterns. But the German ones, you can tell them because they're you can probably beat someone to death with one of them. That's how strong the metal is. But the cold blast lantern, what it does is it pulls air in. It's designed to pull air in to burn, and it also is designed so that some of the fumes from the font or the bowl that you fill are pulled into the flame area also. And then a cold blast lantern has an exhaust on top. You got to be careful of that. See, there's a little tiny loop on the top of all cold blast lanterns, in fact, all lanterns. And when you want to change the wick or light it, you pull that up and you can tip the glass out of the way. Well, that gets real hot if it's been burning. So be aware of that. Now, a hot blast lantern is different. A hot blast lantern doesn't pull a lot of cold air in from the, and it has no exhaust from the top. Its piping comes up the side, goes up around, and meets again at the top. What it's for, and it puts out less light than a cold blast lantern. The purpose of a hot blast lantern is to keep smell down and to reburn all of the fumes that come out of the burn area. So the cold blast just burns like a normal lantern, and you'll get a lot of heat from the top, and you can get some smell out of it. Now, a hot blast, you're probably going to lose about 25% of the light, but it burns without the smell. Okay, now, here's something else from my learning. On the lanterns, you have these pipes that come out of the font that go up to the top. Those are not, they're not sealed. If you put kerosene in a lantern, in most of these lanterns, and you shake it, it's going to leak out the side where those pipes meet. So remember that. Now, when you fill your font, or the gas tank, for want of a better term, the fuel tank, you don't fill it full. You fill it about two-thirds full. Because the lantern gets hot, the fuel expands, and the fumes are flammable. So you can end up causing a fire if you fill it too full. This is not rocket science. First few times you do this kind of stuff, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But you keep the lanterns about two-thirds full. And again, you keep your wicks trimmed. You don't want to use a lantern that's loose. Pieces are loose, rusted, leaking, glass broke. You don't want any of that crap. Now, these things can go anywhere from a size, of a softball, little tiny one, that uses a tubular tubular wick to the Jupiter Dietz lantern, which will burn for like 8 days. I have one in a garage. There's some beautiful lanterns out there, some very collectible ones. There's different quality ones. There's even one called a Millennial. This one's a new one, Millennium Cooker Lantern. And this came out, in year 2000. It has a plate on top of it to where you can heat water or food. So you can go, and I'm going to have the links to this. This is lanternnet.com. I'm going to have the links to it. You guys can go there and you can poke around and see this stuff. We used to sell lanterns. Some years back, we sold thousands and thousands of them. And the funny part is this. The company is owned by the Amish. So they can't have a telephone on the property. So the owner of the company had to walk 10 miles each day to his brother, who had left the organization and had a business in town. So he'd walk there and use his telephone. And I'd call up and I'd order, a couple hundred lanterns. And I thought it was funny. It was kind of cool. But there's the lanterns. It's smart for you to figure out which ones you want. Sure, you can buy one of each. You can go buy a bunch of them. I like to keep them the same. It's like keeping all my rifles the same caliber, so I can get the wicks, the same size wicks. I have rolls of wicks. I mean, picture a wick, 1 inch wide, 20 feet long, or 40 feet long. So you can buy replacement wicks. And you can go into, like down the street here, North 40. You can go in and you can buy lanterns, you can buy wicks, and they're all a foot long, and they're like $1.99 or some such thing. But when you buy it in a roll, you can cut it yourself. Always remember, the key behind any lantern, whether it's a cold blast lantern, a hot blast lantern, or a dead flame lantern, is to keep it in tip-top shape. Keep the wick trimmed. If the chimney on a dead flame lantern, and it will, gets carbon inside of it, it gets all black up. Don't go grabbing that and cleaning that right now. You wait until everything's cooled down. This glass is so sensitive, it'll shatter on you. And when you're going to clean the chimney on a cold blast lantern, I just use a bottle brush. I wait till everything's cool, totally 100%, and then I have lukewarm running water, dish soap, and a bottle brush. And I clean the thing really well, and then I don't dry it. I put it in a dish strainer, let it dry by itself. If your lantern itself gets screwed up, empty the whole thing out. I mean, if it gets dirty, empty the whole thing out, wash it. Do not put it in a dishwasher. If it's all glass, just put it in a dish strainer, let it drain. But if it's a metal lantern, like the Dietz lanterns, sometimes those the globes get dirty. They'll carbon up. Same way, take them off. Now remember, this gets hot. And if you haven't learned yet, if you touch something that's hot, you're going to get burned. So if you're going to do any work on these things, make sure you're doing it after it's cooled down. And I use a hairdryer. I still got a basket full of broken Dietz lanterns. North 40 and Black Sheep Sporting Goods and almost everywhere sells replacement globes for these things. If you take your lantern in, and I bought a lantern, a Dietz lantern, I know retails for $90. And I got it for $2 because the globe was broken. I took it into a place, got another globe for $10. So these things are tools, and these are things that can save your life. If you can't see where you're going, you're not going to go anywhere. It's beyond having to explain to anyone that you need light. You've got to be able to not just protect yourself, but it is psychologically uplifting to have some source of light around. And yeah, solar panels and 12-volt batteries are all well and good, but in the long term, having a lantern beats the hell out of all of that. And then you have the pressurized lanterns. And I don't want to get into the really expensive ones. Most people are used to the Coleman lanterns. You've got the propane ones. Now, those are idiot-proof. You just screw a propane canister on a lantern, light it, boom. But it still goes through the same thing. The glass is going to carbon up. Don't touch it when it's hot. And you take everything apart and you clean it. You have what's called a generator because, the propane lanterns don't. They just run on propane. That's a very simple thing to use. You can get an adapter to run a propane lantern on a propane tank as opposed to those little tiny propane canisters. There's many things, many ways to do this. On the pressurized gas, most Coleman lanterns will use white gas or even gasoline. And they have, and because of the impurities in gasoline and even in the white gas, some of the lines in there clog up. So they have something in there that will clean that. It's called a generator, this area that generates the proper flame. And you have this little thing that you can twist, you can spin around. It's got a little lever on it. You can clean the generators, and then it'll burn better. You stock up on wicks. Now, the wicks, the mantles are called, I'm sorry, on Coleman lanterns are called mantles. Now, I don't know what they're made of at this time, but until a few years ago, they were all radioactive. I stock up on things. I don't just buy one of something. I'll buy 24 or something, or 100 like I did. I bought 100 wicks for my Coleman lanterns. And a mantle, they call it a mantle, I call it a wick. They're radioactive. When you put them all that many together, it actually showed up on my Geiger counter. So that kind of freaked me out. So I keep the mantles out in the shed. But on a Coleman lantern, you replace the mantle and you put it on. It's dried, right? It's you haven't burned it yet. You put it on up, and it you tighten it on. You tighten the threads on it, and then you pre-burn it. You literally hold a match to it, let it catch fire. And then it'll turn into ash. And then you close it up, and then you light it. Now, there might be some different instructions nowadays, but that's how we used to do it. And the problem with those mantles, they're very sensitive. If you're walking, you got to go to the bathroom, and you grab the lantern, and you walk out 20 feet to where the latrine is, and you sit down, and you bang the lantern against the tree, you run a risk of breaking that mantle, and all of a sudden you're without light, sitting on a toilet seat. So you got to be careful about that. And then, you know, you clean those things, you keep them clean. When you're done using pressurized lanterns, it doesn't matter what manufacturer they are, when you're done using pressurized lanterns, you empty the fuel out, whatever you got in there. Close it back up, pump it up, or pressurize the canister, the fuel tank, and then open the valve and let it blow itself out. You want to get all the fuel out of there. You're cleaning. It's just like putting your snowblower away for the season. When you're done running the engine, for the season, you turn off the fuel line to the carburetor, you start it, and you run it till it's bone dry. Same thing with a pressurized Coleman lantern. I've had these lanterns, and I picked one up from my brother that he hadn't used in 15 years, and it took me maybe 15 minutes to work, and I had the thing running on the same fuel. You can buy replacement parts for lanterns too, for Coleman lanterns. So don't think that just because it doesn't work or the guy says, well, the globe's broken and the generator's clogged, so I don't think it works, so you can have it for a couple bucks. Don't think that. It's not worth it. And the other thing to think about is those things are collectibles. You literally can collect those. People do. I have a lantern I think I paid $30 for it in Sacramento when I was 25 years old. And that thing right now I can put on eBay. It looks like brand new because I have cases for my lanterns. I don't just shove them in a bag. I don't have them loose. Everything I own, I want to be around when I die so I can give it to my kid. This thing now is over $200 on eBay. It's just, they're collectibles. People like to collect this kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't care. Now, here's something else, and this is something I did. All propane equipment, you can buy adapters. So I got a 5-gallon can, what do they call it, a 5-pound propane tank, and I got what's called a distribution tee. Picture a pipe that comes out about 6 inches and then goes straight up about 4 feet. It screws onto your propane tank. Coming up about 4 or 5 inches is a fitting that comes off the side that you mount your heater on, your propane heater. And then there's another mount, another fitting about 6 inches above that, that you can pull another line off to go to like a stove. And then at the top of this is where you screw on the Coleman propane lantern. So you've got 3 or 4 things running off this one tank. All right, this is about the end of it. So I hope I gave you some hints and some ideas on what to do. And I'm going to have all the links up for you in the next few days. And I have my links up, by the way, for the last show. I'm trying to get that as quickly as possible because a lot of you, you want to go see what I'm talking about. So the idea with the candles, you trust me, you want them. Get the candles, stock up on it. Any lanterns you have, any dead blast dead flame lanterns, cold blast, hot blast, make sure they're in tip-top shape, ready for you to use. There's nothing more deflating to the ego when the light goes out and your wife goes, "Oh, there's no lights here, honey." "Well, don't worry about it. I got a lantern right here," and it doesn't work. You really look like an idiot. So go to survivalenterprises.com, SE1.us, see what we got to sell. And, you know, you guys might be gun-shy about giving us your check over the phone. It's not as if we keep it. Everything's deleted as soon as we run the charts or print the check. And if we don't get some assistance, we ain't going to be here. It's that freaking simple. There's nothing we can do about it. We're trying to get the ability to take credit cards again. It's just because of politics in the state of South Dakota and Idaho, we can't do it. And if anybody's interested, you can give us a holler and we'll explain it to you at 800-753-1981. That's 800-753-1981. Well, I don't know what else to say, but you guys better be careful. I hope you take to heart the things that you heard about the Wuhan coronavirus that's attacking the world right now. Everything you heard is a lie. Everything, apart from me, everything that you hear on the media is a lie. It's either a lie or it's part of the data. There are thousands of people dying from this virus. 99.9% of them are Chinese. But unfortunately now, and we were concerned that it might be a genetic application of the virus guided towards Asian populations, but it's not, because white people have died also and blacks have died. So this thing's nasty. It's not going away. And from all appearances, it's coming soon to a place near you. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground, and I'll see you next time.